PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
'Excited. We're back again. Wow. Making this a regular occurrence. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories here in the world of physical therapy. I'm your host slash, well, bartender, also a physical therapist, Jimmy McKay. Welcome to the show. We're excited you guys are here. Great show for you tonight. Great show. Returning guest. We got to talk about the last time this guy was on the show. It seems like it was just a little while ago for me, but I had to look in the archives and see when that actually was. So we'll spill the beans. Mike Lebeck from Northern Arizona University is here at the PT program. We're going to be talking to him. We do want to do some housekeeping, which is make sure you subscribe. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Make sure to subscribe. Again, when that word subscribe comes up, it doesn't cost you anything. It's just a little clicky button. And then every time we have a new episode, and they're completely free to you, whenever we have one, you're notified immediately. So subscribe for the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And now, if you're watching on Facebook or Twitter, the video, we're also dropping these video episodes on YouTube, Facebook video, and broadcasting via Periscope on Twitter, at PT Pintcast on all those platforms. So we also want to hear from you, either live or if you're watching or listening to the replay. Drop your comment in below. Any questions for the guest, either during the live show or in the replay. We'll get to those too. So drop your comments and questions in below. Maybe let us know where you're at. It's really, really unique when we find out where this show actually gets to. We're constantly excited. The show heard in 172 different countries. Can't name 172 different countries. I have no idea how it got there, but we're always really, really excited when we see people from around the world. So drop where you're located in the comments below. We'll make sure to say what's up to you guys. So let's get to the good stuff right here. Let's shut my yapper, Jimmy, and get to the good stuff and bring in our guests. Guest today, a professor who teaches at the Northern Arizona University PT program, known for his unique approaches to PT education, and he's here to share his talents with us. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in, Mike Lebeck. Mike, welcome to the show, my friend.
It's good to be back, although last time I think we were in Miami and we were in the same location.
You know what? I had to do the research. I was like, we've had Mike on before. I remember we recorded the episode in a bar, but that, of course, for me, just kind of blurs into the background because conferences can be a little bit like a blur, and they all kind of look similar. But yes, you're right. 2016, this was episode 116 is where you can check Mike. And Mike, we even stopped counting now. I don't even know what episode this is because we're over 500, probably over 600 by now. And yeah, that was the student conclave in Miami. That was a fun time. That was a good event in Miami.
That was great. I had a really fun time overall, and we kind of made it an extra couple of days and saw some family and everything. My wife came and joined me, but I was just amazed at the students, how, you know, the energy they had, and I did a presentation that was very well attended, and I had a great time too. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we don't want to forget this. First question. The first thing we do is the first round. And that's from our friends at Owens Recovery Science. I'll see if I can get this on mic because Johnny Owens and Kyle Kimber will appreciate that. There we go. We got that. And what are we drinking? First round, of course, brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it properly in your clinical practice. Find out more. They're starting to do some of their classes online again. Things starting to open up and they're doing it safely. One day course, get certified for this. OwensRecoveryScience.com. They got some cool locations like Denver, like New Orleans, like San Diego, I saw. They are coming out east as well, Long Island and Falls Church. So check out OwensRecoveryScience.com. I am drinking, this is from my home state of New York, the Northway Brewing Company. I checked, this is near Lake George, the Sunrise Session IPA is what I'm drinking today. Mike, what do you got?
Well, I'm just on water because it's still only about 2:15 here in Arizona, and yeah. I probably start a little too early these days anyway, so I figured if I could put it off another few hours, that's probably a good thing.
Smart man. Well, we say it's 5 o'clock somewhere, except that's somewhere true. Here and not there. So let's talk about this. We mentioned in your intro, educator at Northern Arizona University in the PT program, DPT education going online. We talked about this yesterday with one of my professors at Marymount University in the pivot. Love to hear about different experiences, what different places are doing. Jason Craig, one of my professors yesterday, talking about Baylor University releasing a lot of information on how they did it, just giving that information to the profession. Let's talk about some online education best practices, because once we know things are here to stay, either all or in part in terms of online, you should have best practices. Talk about your experience as an educator out at Northern Arizona.
Yeah, so I've been interested in the hybrid stuff for a while. And, I've done some research and getting involved with some of the hybrid programs, see how they're doing things. And I realized there's some valuable things that they do that are maybe more effective than what you do in the classroom sometimes. So I've been implementing some of those things all along and having students video record each other doing manual techniques, and then they upload them to the learning management system. And so there's a lot that goes on there. They have to kind of interact while they're doing it, and one will say, hey, I think we learned it this way. So they're learning from each other, and then they're watching themselves and they get that feedback. If you ever watch yourself, you know, you can find 1,000 things that you want to do differently, right? And then we give them feedback online from it, and that's in addition to some of the live stuff. So that's something we've been doing for a long time, and pre-recorded lectures and those kinds of things. But really it comes down to engagement, you know. I like what some of the EIM group, the programs that they have started, and they talk about in online doesn't just mean shrink it and link it. You know, you just don't boil it down and then patch it into the interweb and expect it all to be something good. You got to come up with something unique. You got to engage the students during the class time. So, you know, I use a lot of polling systems. We stop every 15, 20 minutes and what do you think about this? You know, what are the answers to some of the things we talked about, or just, you know, what are different ways we would do this?
Yeah, interactivity, it's what you'd get in a classroom. How can you take that thing that you know works, and you mentioned it's about engagement, asking people a question and saying, all right, for the audience, what do you think? That's very engaging. All of a sudden, the audience goes from receive-only mode to, oh, I'm expected to participate. I'm supposed to be active. And it turns them from this passive consumer into an active participant in the discussion.
And, you know, even just leading a discussion, I mean, everything's through Zoom these days, you know, always saying the meme of who started the coronavirus, and they have the Scooby-Doo gang and unmasking, and Zoom is underneath Zoom. It, you know, but everybody's using it or something like it. But the Zoom chat, I find, you know, it's really nice to just throw out a question, and you'll get, you know, if you ask a question in class, you get one person or two people that maybe respond for everybody, and half the class answers on the Zoom chat. So they all have to think about it, and they all have to put it out there. And so that's been kind of a cool thing that gets them a little bit more involved as well. And, you know, the other thing go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know what, like talking about that, you're saying in your experience, you know, and you're right. I mean, I've been in classes and I'm a pretty outgoing guy in class, not in class, when I shouldn't be, when I should be quiet. But you're right. Even myself, like if I'm in a class environment and I'm going to answer and I'm not 100% sure, that's kind of taking a risk. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe it's a little safer. Maybe it feels a little safer. There's got to be a reason behind it. Why is it easier? I don't know. I mean, we get to kind of hide behind this camera and this keyboard a little bit. And if I'm wrong in class, if I'm live, I kind of, everybody's kind of looking at me like, he really missed the mark. He was so off. But a keyboard, maybe that's a key or something that helps the interactivity.
You know, there's two reasons why students don't respond in class like that. And the first one is exactly what you said. They're afraid to be wrong. And the second one is because they haven't had enough time to think about it. And in the online environment, everything kind of slows down and it's accepted that there's going to be pauses. I say, okay, I'll give you 10 seconds to respond or type and craft your response. And, or, you know, I'll say, I'm going to have you answer this in about 30 seconds. And for that reason, even some of my students have said that's why they're getting more interactivity in some cases.
Yeah, I'll do that too. And I took this note from Tim Ferriss, who's got a bunch of books and podcasts. This guy's just a really cool, I don't even know what you call him, thinker. He's a deep thinker. And I learned from him and my former morning radio DJ. His name is Jim Bone, a great interviewer. And he would tip his cards as to what a question was going to be. But if it required a few seconds of introspective thought, it was going to be a good answer, but you didn't want to put that person on the spot. So he's like, I'm going to ask you this. And he'd ask the question, you know, what was the most amazing experience you ever had when you were scared? And I'll give you an example. And then he'd tell a story about that himself and his personal life. And it set the guest up for, oh, okay, I see what type I see. And you've given me example now. So by tipping your hand, I'm going to ask you this and I'm going to want a response in 30 seconds. It lets them know, switch this on. I've got to interact, but I've got some time to collect my thoughts because you don't want an answer. You want them to think and give an answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, even in live classes, I will, you know, the whole pair share idea. Okay, get with a partner and talk about this. And, you know, the whole point of that is to get them to think about it and run their ideas by somebody else. And then they feel a lot more confident coming out with it. And the way I phrase the question a lot of times, I'll say, okay, what did you talk about? I don't care what you what the right answer is. I want to know what you thought and discussed. And that also puts it in a frame where they're not maybe as afraid to be wrong or, hey, here's the discussion we had about it.
Yeah, learning definitely occurs when you're wrong, but for some reason we want to risk being wrong, you know, like we don't want to do it because we want to have this perfection, but we know this, right? The only way you know how to ride your bike is you got to skin a couple of knees, you got to crash. But it's amazing, even at the graduate level, even as me as second career guy sitting there, I was feeling the same thing. And I wasn't as apt always, unless I was kind of sure I knew that answer.
I mean, it's taken me years even just in teaching as a junior faculty member. I didn't want somebody coming in and watching my class because, oh, maybe I said something wrong. And I think I'm finally to the point where I don't really care about that too much because I'm going to learn stuff from it. But, you know, it just takes a lot of time.
A lot of psychology to put in there. So you mentioned not just recording something and uploading it. It's got to be this different intervention. Jason Craig on the show yesterday talking about something very, very similar in that way is, you know, how you design your slides needs to be different. Because, Mike, if we were watching a live stream, if I were to turn you into the same size slide, that'd be really hard to read. And I'd get fatigued after 3 or 4 slides and I'd probably just stop watching them. So you've got to know your interface. You've got to know how big your virtual whiteboard is going to be. I'm sure that's one thing that you've tackled at NAU in terms of getting comfortable with this whole thing technology.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's a concept called cognitive overload and cognitive load is, you know, there's certain things that cognitive load are basically the mental resources that you have to use when to learn something. And some of it's just related to the topic, like physics for me is hard. Some of it has to do with the work that your mind has to do, like doing problems in physics. And we don't have as much control over that, but we do have control over the part where it's how it's organized,
right,
how we present it. And so that's the other thing. So I had a very interesting experience this year too, because not only did I get thrown into the online world in physical therapy, but we're building a house and that takes money. So I took a second job teaching anatomy and physiology at the local community college at night. And so not only was I teaching something I'd never taught before, like the physiology of the eye and those types of things, but then I got thrown online too. And that's a whole different group of students. And so, you know, hyper-organization is the point that I'm trying to get back to. You know, all of a sudden you're getting 100 emails saying, Dr. Lebeck, I can't find the blah-bitty blah. And, you know, that's because I didn't check one box that makes it available or whatever it is. So double, triple, quadruple checking everything to make sure it's all lined up. Yeah. And even this summer, I'm teaching the same thing, only it's a completely asynchronous thing. And we don't have any live meetings because that's the way it's written in the catalog. And that's one of the first times I've done that. And there, first couple of weeks, I was pulling my hair out because I'm getting 100 emails saying, this says that there's 10 questions, but there's 8. Where are the missing 2? And it's just something I didn't edit. Yeah. So
yeah,
a Lots of double checking there.
Yeah, it's you get real time feedback in a classroom, which is which can be good or it can be bad. Like this, it's neither good nor bad. It just is. And you know, you mentioned when you're getting that asynchronous feedback in terms of, man, if Mike forgets to click one box, next thing you know, it's 100 emails coming his way, and he's got to deal with that. Getting comfortable with your mediums. The professors at Marymount University, when I was a student, I was a GA, and I would help them use some of the resources, you know, bringing down the screens and putting slides on the TV screens around the room. Well, you want to make sure you're comfortable with that. You don't want to do the old, I mean, everybody's, of course, you know, familiar now with you're muted. You're still muted. No, you're still muted. Or I'm going to share my screen. Is it sharing now? It's sharing. Is it sharing? No, you want to be super comfortable with that. So when you know that you're doing it, like if I were just going to say, you know what, I'm going to go full screen right now. Boom, I'm full screen. We can do that. I'll slip right back. But you want to make sure you're comfortable with the thing you're using, because you don't want the user paying attention to that. You want the user paying attention to the thing that you're talking about.
And you probably have a lot of experience doing that. One little button and they, all of a sudden, yeah, you're looking at the back of somebody's ear or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. In radio, kids, we used to use these things called compact discs. So they were CDs, they used to call them. But you typically had three CD players in a radio studio. You were playing one CD player. You're playing number one. You had number two stacked up. And number three was your Oh Crap deck. That was a song that was just lined up in case something went wrong with number one and number two. But you pop the CD out and it came out in a little case. And if you were playing CD player number one and you popped out CD player number one, you went off the air. You were dead. You did that one time in your radio career because the shot of adrenaline that you realized you just pumped the radio station off the air completely. So getting used to your technology is good. But it definitely leaves an impression when you do something horribly bad. You'll never make that mistake. Well, hopefully never make that mistake twice.
Well, I'll do you one better. When I was a DJ in college, we still had cassette tapes that we would do. And I mean, they probably do vinyl again now because it's all of a sudden cool again. But we had vinyl, we had cassette tapes, and you know, you played it to the first time you heard the song, and then you took the pencil and you turned it half a turn, and then you put that ready to go. And
yeah,
another layer.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're comfortable with that. And then you can do that after a while, this new thing. And we're talking about even, you know, learning in neuro in terms of that thing that you is so difficult the first couple times, and then it gets easier. Next thing you know, you're not even thinking about it. That's when you can learn other tasks. But utilizing that technology in DPT online education best practices. Before we move on topics, any really great positive things come out of this? I know you're talking about insight and going to a more hybrid, but you know, a shout out to how your students at NAU have adapted. Did they do well?
Absolutely. The students at NAU, I can't say more about how supportive they were. And I think that's a direct response from how you go back to them. I mean, first thing when this happened, I sent them out messages saying, don't worry, we got this. And we're going to make it work. And you know, I wasn't sure that was true, but they need to hear that. But they were very appreciative of it. And they put themselves out there. They weren't afraid to turn their mic on once in a while. And, you know, I do think some of them were a little more engaged than they would have been just because they had to be. And just one last best practice thing is, you know, when we're talking about asynchronous and you know, being online and having students do things by themselves, I think it's really important to create some video messages of yourself. Rather than typing everything out in email, record a little video of yourself saying, hey, this is what we're going to do this week. And here's the different things, because it gives you that human touch. When we went back to my dissertation a million years ago that was on the distance learning, they called it back then, the reason that students didn't engage in the particular project that I did was because they did not feel accountable to a person. They felt, you know, they were working with the computer and they were doing everything online, but there was nobody there to say, hey, maybe you should do this. And just seeing a face and hearing the words once in a while makes them connect a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is use the medium that you're going to be using to send them a message about the thing that you're going to send them. It's bringing that human into it. I'm not sure if you use this, but there's an extension you can download from a company called Wistia, and the app, it's a free app. It's called Soapbox, and it will let you do just that, which is literally turn your, there's no downloading. There's no like programs. You don't need to like, you know, hit a bunch of settings. You download it onto to Chrome and it lets you do a video message, and it'll even let you share your screen or share one slide or something like that. So if you wanted to just put, hey, welcome to the class, and then lets you just kind of sit here and say, and riff, hey, you know, excited to have you guys start tomorrow. I'm Dr. Lebeque. Here's what's going to happen. We'll see you later. And then boom, it automatically turns into a file. And it can go out. So that's called Soapbox from a company called Wistia, which is a pretty good online technology company. So that's pretty cool.
I'm writing it down right now.
Write it down, everybody. Want to say thanks to our friends at the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. Those guys, the leaders in orthopedic PT, orthopt.org. We just had an opportunity to give away some of these koozies. Mike, I'll get you a koozie, Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. They've got all sorts of online learning modules. They've been doing this for a while. We just gave away an opportunity to some of our listeners to win Current Concepts of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, a great OCS prep course. You can grab that right now. And they've got one for all the major body sections. So you want to do a hip, knee, ankle. They've got it everything. So why not learn from the people who are leaders in orthopedic physical therapy? Check them out online at orthopt.org. The reason we talked in Miami was you were doing a presentation. And think about this, Mike. In 2016, this thing was to the point where students could not wrap their heads around physical therapists in the emergency department. And that was 2016. We're 2020 now, and we're getting amazing stories of successes and research data in how effective physical therapists are in the emergency department. That's got to be great. You were there, you know, speaking about it in 2016, but that's got to feel really good.
It has really grown in the last few years. It really has. And we have a database that we keep track of all the programs that we know of. And of course, there's a bunch out there that we don't know of. And I probably get 3 to 6 emails every month from people who are either doing it and want to do something different or trying to do something more with it. And really it is because of a lot of those grassroots types of things. You know, some student hears about it, or, you know, when I used to do talks, it was how many people have heard about this before? And, you know, maybe a few or half. And now most of them kind of have. And it's those kind of the students and the young ones are the ones that are really more likely to get out of their box and go do this anyway and do something different. So it's been very, very cool.
So you mentioned some of those databases and resources. Let's throw some out there and make sure if anybody's interested, they know where to find those. Like where would you send an inquisitive therapist or student or therapist assistant? Where would you want them to go?
Yeah. So there's a Facebook group for emergency physical therapy, and they just kind of changed the name to emergency physical therapy to encompass a little bit more than just emergency department physical therapy, which can include disaster relief and work in a pandemic of things you do differently, right, and urgent care and all of that type of stuff. So that's probably the place where there's the most communication going on. We set up a listserv years ago, and it doesn't get a lot of traffic now, just, you know, because social media is just a whole different way to do it. So the requesting, searching for, and asking to join the Facebook group, I think, is probably the best thing to get started. And I love to be a resource about this type of stuff. So, you know, I get the emails and I'll send people. So we have the database on the listserv itself. And so people can just, it's an open database where they can look at that and see that. But the thing that, let's talk about some other research that's happened. You know, we always used to say, oh, we don't really have any great outcomes yet that shows that EDPT makes people better faster. That's changing. So the guy that I've worked with, Dr. Howard Kim, I think he's in Chicago. He's working with some PTs there, and they are getting some good outcomes about patients with low back pain. And then we have Keith Roper is a guy in Utah, and he's been working with Julie Fritz, and they just got some really good outcomes about decreasing length of stay and other peripheral outcomes about that are true patient outcomes. And then one of our former students, Ben Bachelier, I think he is in Colorado Springs now, and they did a study to show that PT and the ED significantly reduced the number of admissions to the hospital. And that's a boon right there, because admissions are tens of thousands of dollars. Yep. And so even just saving a few. So we really do. So those articles, I think, are something that people can start with.
Yeah, we also we're dropping the links to the EDPD Facebook group in the comments below, so you can just click that. I also included an episode we did with a physical therapist named Naveed Shan, who had just this great, like, you know, anecdotal story about, wow, he was in the right place at the right time and asked the right questions. And I had to have him on, even if we were just going to talk about it for 10 minutes, because I was like, listen, this thing needs to spread. This is a great example of a physical therapist asking the right thing at the right time in the right place. And that place was in the ED. And that was a really, really amazing story. So check out that episode, which we dropped last year from Naveed. Great, great story.
And Naveed was a student in NAU's program down in Phoenix. And so he talked to me when he was getting involved in starting the program. And I encouraged him for the same case to submit a poster to CSM, and he presented that as well.
Yeah.
And so we need to write that up as an article too.
I'd love that.
Naveed has done a great job.
Yeah, it was a good story. It was one that he had written it so well in that Facebook group that we were talking about. He really just wanted to share a story so others could learn from it. And I was riveted. I was like, oh my gosh, how did this end? And I will not tell you right now, because you have to go and listen to Naveed's episode as well. Humor in the classroom. Mike, you've been known to bring in some different ways of making information exchange. That's what education really is, making information exchange fun, using it in the classroom. But it's not only just goofy, it's not a thing to do, it's effective and it's beneficial on a couple of different levels. Talk about that.
So especially this all started years ago whenever I saw a need, and then the students also requested a little bit more information about documentation, how to document, because we used to teach it in piecemeal here and there throughout the program. And of course, students, nobody becomes a physical therapist because they want to learn to document. Nobody in their interview for PT school, you say, why do you want to PT, says, oh, I just love recording information and rehashing what happened and numbers and all that stuff. So, you know, they don't care too much about that until they're ready to go out on their internships. And they're like, oh, geez, I got to do this. So I better learn how to do it. So we created a 2-day seminar that was first an elective, and it was supposed to be an advanced documentation class. Well, then they realized, okay, we really need this. Let's make it part of the curriculum. But it was a 2 8-hour day class and on documentation. So it made it my goal to make it an experience that did not want to make students want to say, I want to put a fork in my eye.
Wow.
So I tried to do as many different things as I could. And some of that was multimedia and humorous videos and tie-ins with songs and that relate to documentation topics peripherally, maybe, but you know, they are there. And then of course I started to write some satirical songs on guitar and play them. And well, they'd never seen that before in the classroom. So that tended to get a little bit of attention. And you know, I always tell the students after I do some of the stuff, I'm like, hey, these are things that are very well grounded in research, because there's really good research that shows students learn better when they're awake.
Absolutely. I mean, all I heard you say, right? I can't play an instrument to save my life. Can't carry a tune in a bucket. But as a guy who majored in communications, you took time and you well crafted a message. Setting it to music is definitely novel, right? We're very familiar with the term novel these days. It's different. They're not used to using or hearing information that way in a classroom, but we're very used to hearing information that way in terms of poetry with music behind it. And it gets our attention right away. There's a part of the human brain that just lights up when you do it in that particular way. And it makes it fun, right? I mean, I'm sure that some of those students are still singing the goofy little songs you wrote about documentation while they're working.
Well, and the one is that I get quoted on the most. I have a lot of former students. You know, I got two rules about social media. I don't accept friend requests while the student's in the program, and I don't send them friend requests after I leave, because that would be kind of creepy, right? You know? But they, you know, when they send me a friend request, I love to see what happens to them after graduation. And so one of the analogies is we play the song What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. And we actually do a little dance routine in the classroom to it. And so it creates this memorable experience. And of course, I explain the significance of the song, which unfortunately is a little more relevant today, having to do with civil rights and everything like that. But then say, what we want you to remember is when you write the assessment of your evaluation, you're looking at the subjective data and the objective data, and you're putting it all together and you're trying to figure out what's going on that's really important.
Yeah.
So they will say, when I write the assessment, I still think of Marvin Gaye.
There you go. And they've got it. It sticks. And that's the point. That's why we show up to class. That's why we want to interact. We want to learn. We want to get smarter. And if you find a unique and a novel way to do that, that'll land the message better. Please do that more often. So I love that. So you've written several songs. You have your documentation songs. You've got a Vimeo channel right now.
It's probably not that organized, but I do have a few things on there that come up and on a routine basis. And for the anatomy and physiology class, I wrote a song about mnemonics for the cranial nerves, and which I had to relearn first before I could
sure.
see that. And you always got to stick the humor in there. And so this all started with whenever somebody would leave work in the hospital, we do a little goodbye song roasting them. And so I just thought, how can I get this into my teaching? Well, of course, the most relevant thing lately has been the COVID pandemic and the coronavirus crisis. And a couple of people said, hey, you got to write a song about that because there's just so much crazy stuff going on. And so I did. And I think that's how I got here. I'm still not sure how you got a hold of that.
Yeah, well, I saw somebody, bumpability. We see things on social media. And I saw someone literally posted, this is a great PT parody song about, COVID-19 and 6 feet away. And I literally said, oh, my gosh, there's two people writing parody songs because I know Mike Lebeck. Who's this guy? And I clicked it. And it was Mike Lebeck. So I was like, got it. And that's when I was like, damn, it's been a minute since I've had Mike Lebeck on the show. Let's just use this as an excuse. So we've never done this before. You have your guitar there in the office. Are we going to do this thing live?
I do. I guess that's what we're going to do, huh?
All right. So we're going to do a world premiere of the song 6 Feet Away. This is released on the Coronavirus Records Incorporated. That's a good record label name there.
I gotta get my guitar over my headphones.
Good. And are you're all tuned up and everything? You're all good?
There we go. That's some good comic relief for you.
All right. So we're all tuned up and ready to go.
Okay. So
hold on.
Go ahead. Yep.
I was gonna say you need a proper introduction. So before you're ready to play, let me know. I'm gonna do a radio introduction for you.
Okay. I gotta put my lyrics up on the screen so you can still see me, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
All right, you ready to go? We're going to give you your radio introduction, a world premiere on PT Pinecast with Mike Lebeck.
Sounds
and Speedway. Here goes.
This is a PT Pinecast world premiere. New rock, Mike Lebeck. 6 feet away.
Stage is yours, my friend.
Okay. I got my toes in my slippers, my ass on the couch. I'm binge watching Netflix cause I can't go out. Quarantine today, quarantine today. Well, I've got a Zoom meeting around 10 o'clock and I'm only dressed from the waist up. Cause they'll never know I'm in my skivvies and there's whiskey in my coffee cup. Well, the bars are shut down, so I can't go downtown. Haven't touched my face in a week. The gyms are all closed, and so I'm really hosed, developing a Chris Farley physique. No me gusta Corona. I am so bored to tears. Wish I'd bought sanitizer instead of Budweiser. Guess I'll wash my hands with beers. That's alcohol, right? Almost out of toilet paper, and I feel like a slob. I use just 6 squares a day, and man, I gotta say, it's not doing the job. Well, I walked into Walmart and wiped down my cart, put on a mask like I was in disguise. I saw nothing nowhere, cause the shelves were all bare. Guess I will not replenish supplies. Folks from both near and far came when it was still dark, loaded up on everything canned. And their carts overflowed with a gigantic load, paper towels, butter and Spam. Yo no quiero corona, staying home every day. And if it weren't for tequila and my good old drug dealer, I might not shelter in place. Yo no quiero corona. I'm staying 6 feet away. Guess I'll put on Tiger King, grab my guitar and sing with Grubhub on the way. Well, the world became crazy almost overnight. Hard to keep up with what's going on. No more hugs or handshakes, so well, for goodness sakes, I guess I'll just fist bump my mom. I don't trust Trump or Pence to keep social distance. Logic and those two don't agree. Meanwhile, I cut my own hair. Well, I do declare my dog's tired of walking with me. Adios, Corona. Por favor, go away. Cause the nurses and doctors that save our grandpapas are really earning their pay. Someday there'll be no corona. I can't wait for that day. Till then, do me a favor, bring toilet paper, but please stay 6 feet away.
Mike, I mean, just well done right there.
Right, pulled it off. That's my first ever live appearance online, I guess. I don't know. In fact, it's only my second live appearance ever. I think I played in a coffee shop one time in PT school for a bunch of my classmates, but that's about it.
I love the line. Yo no Kiro Corona. Mike Beck, you heard it here first, live anyway, live from Coronavirus Records Incorporated. That's where you can buy that album. Well done right there. Are you right? We're going to do three questions. So, you know, we're going to go take a quick 10-second break. So feel free if you want to take the guitar off. We won't be on there. So back with three questions with Michael Beck on PT Pinecast. AURENUSmedical.com. That is AURENUSmedical.com. Our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing, travel physical therapy. I mean, you might be thinking, hey, positions all across the country, all 50 states and in Washington, D.C., there are areas of need right now. And if you're a physical therapist or a physical therapist student, new graduate, if you want to fill that need, you can do it. See what's available. AURENUSmedical.com, all different settings. For some reason, people just assume it's only ortho, it's only outpatient. No, no. All over. And some of the coolest areas in the country actually have high need for physical therapy. A lot of times, Alaska and Hawaii are actually high on that list. So see what's available. AURENUSmedical.com. So Mike, three questions for you. First one's a where question. If you could go and do, you know, if you could play 6 feet away anywhere, where would you want to go in the U.S.? What area would you run to?
Yeah, I can't remember what my answers to these questions were before, but, you know, they might have changed by then anyway. Gosh, it's been so long since I've been to a beach. And I think I would be going to a beach in, if we got to stay in the U.S., I might go to the Keys or, you know, maybe someplace along the Florida Panhandle, which has amazingly beautiful beaches.
Yeah. And that's the cool part about, you know, travel physical therapy. It's not it is short term assignments, but it's also long term assignments. Take this country for a test drive. You know, I literally just renewed my license. I just got it in the mail. That's a license to be a physical therapist anywhere in the U.S. Now, yeah, you got to, you know, transfer your license. That's just some paperwork. If the beach is what you want to do, lakes, rivers, mountains, go do what you are driven to do, where you want to do it, and you can do it with Aureus, AURENUSmedical.com. Second question on three questions is a what question. What's something you've watched, read, downloaded, listened to that really inspired you that you'd recommend for the audience of physical therapists?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Well, there's if I can give two answers, I'm going to give one that's in a more serious nature and one that's a little more light. But so, you know, as far as more serious goes, in the last few years, I've become what my friend calls me a reluctant or a cynical meditator. So the Headspace app, say, there's a lot of talk about mindfulness these days. And, you know, I was always one who, you know, I'm pretty high energy and that can, you know, spin out of control sometimes. And I got to say the Headspace app is something that got me. It really taught me how to practice mindfulness and how to just sit and clear your mind. And gosh, I sleep better. and I don't worry as much. And so I think that is something I would recommend on a more serious note.
So talk to me briefly about how it works, or maybe one or two of the things that, you know, really connects with you.
Yeah. It's really just about, you know, so many people, and you know, you have this experience where you go to sleep and you can't get to sleep, or you wake up in the middle of the night because your mind is racing. It's like, well, I can't shut my mind off. Well, it takes practice. And one of the ways you do that is, you know, when you're doing that, your mind is elsewhere instead of where you are. So it teaches you to realize where you are and to realize that all that other stuff doesn't matter right now. So, you know, breathing and noticing how your breath comes in and out. Notice your feet on the floor. Notice the weight here of your arms, and notice the sounds you hear. Notice the smells that you smell, because your brain literally cannot do two things at once. So if you teach it to be aware of what's around you, it's not going to be doing all that other stuff that most of the time doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. Anyway. We talked about that with online PT education and focus on cognitive overload. Sometimes we're focused on the wrong things, and the things around us are more important than the other thing that we're focused on, maybe on our phone or just, you know, for me, when you mentioned, like, have you ever had trouble falling asleep? Yeah. I'll be going to sleep. I'll be like, did I return that book in, 1997? Did I return that book to the library? Wrong thing. Focus on what you've got right around you.
Yeah. And then, the other one, so I've decided to use this to start writing my novel. And so, Save the Cat Writes a Novel is the book I'm reading right now. And it teaches you what are the elements of a good story, whether it's a movie or anything like that. So that would be the thing for fun, if anybody's ever thought about that, to learn how to write a novel.
So that's a book? Save the Cat Writes a Novel is a book?
It's a book. And there's a Save the Cat Writes a Screenplay, and then they turn one into a novel. And then you're just kind of like, oh, that makes sense. Yes, every story does have these 15 things.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Save the Cat Writes a Novel. I like that. Third question is all about people. We want to start and end with people. So it's a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Yeah, okay. I do remember my answer to this one. So, I got a buddy here in town who is a physical therapist, and his name is Jay McCallum, and he's done a lot of teaching for me. And he, on so many levels, is somebody I have respect for. And he stays up on the evidence, and he practices the evidence. He's good with people. You know, he's a quirky dude, and, you know, I got some great stories about him. But he is somebody who's just kind of got a little bit of everything, and he's been my physical therapist multiple times. He's a natural teacher, and he follows in the footsteps of a lot of the guys who are out there doing podcasts and the Greg Lehmans and all of that stuff, and he turns... Every time I talk to him, I learn something different. And he's somebody who could be, you know, out there that everybody knows, but he really chooses to be working with patients on a daily basis. And that's what he wants to do. So I'm going to give the shout out to Jay. And I'll just tell one quick Jay story that I always tease him about is he's just somebody who's so observant and smart. And, you know, he kind of, I tease him, you know, he's got a few like Mr. Spock like category characteristics. And so he's coming in to teach one day, and you know, I always give a fake name when I get coffee. I always say Clark, because if I say Mike, like 20,000 Mikes come and try to get your coffee. So Mark. You know, I have Clark written on my cup, and he comes walking in, he looks, and first thing he says, who is Clark and why do you have his coffee? You know, that's what he said. So anyway, that's a tease, but yeah, somebody I have tremendous respect for. My students know him, and kudos to you, Jay.
I like that. That would be a very Spock-like logical comment to make. So we shall live long and prosper with Jay. That's great. I love people like that. People that you learn from. If you can be friends with people that teach you things throughout your life, man, that's going to be a really, really enriched life. So I like when you get to tell stories like that. That's perfect. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from Aureus Medical Staffing. Go see what's available now in this great country of ours in terms of assignments where there are areas of need right now. So some people might be saying, travel, PT, we can't travel. Well, you're someone who is in need or essential as a physical therapist. So check them out, AURAUSmedical.com. Last thing we do on the show is called our parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
No pressure here. Parting shot from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. We talked about them earlier, orthopt.org. What's something you want to leave with the audience to focus on as we wrap this episode up? What's your parting shot for today?
Yeah, so I think we touched on it earlier of the, you know, afraid to be wrong type of thing.
Yeah.
So I would say dare to be wrong. Dare to be, you know, dare to put yourself out there in as many situations as you can and make peace with that. Accept that fact that sometimes you're not going to know everything. Sometimes you're not going to know the right thing, because once you put your mindset there, then you are more willing, more likely to be able to learn something rather than trying to show what you know, show what you don't know.
Yeah. Dare to be wrong. I like that. That shows some vulnerability, and that's where we learn when we're vulnerable. Mike, I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking a novel approach at putting a spin on something. You know, we wanted to bring you on the show because you wrote this really funny, goofy song, but really what you're doing is you're saying, I'm willing to put some effort into this. And that's when people pay attention and spend time. A lot of times people will put focus and emphasis on attention and time, but we need pay and spend. And you put the time and the effort and the creativity into creating the song. And, you know, it might seem a little goofy, and it is. And I think it was meant for that, but you're saying, hey, I do this with documentation and I do this with cranial nerves. And that's a cool little lesson in terms of, if you want to get a message across, if you want people to really, really connect with the information, you as a sender, an educator, a broadcaster, you need to put some time, effort, and attention into that, and then that message is better to be received. So thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. And thanks for letting us do the world premiere of your song.
Thank you for having me. It's great fun to be here always.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Are you having a difficult time treating your patients with shoulder conditions? Are you looking to take your clinical skills to a new level? Or are you planning on taking the OCS? I'd like to tell you about the Shoulder Independent Study Course by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, written by some of our profession's leading shoulder experts, such as George Davies and Sue Falzone. It includes topics such as appropriate interventions following rotator cuff repairs and treatment of anterior shoulder instability. We hope you'll visit us at orthoptlearn.org. Purchase this course and take the next step in your professional development.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs. From website development and hosting, providing content marketing solutions for PT clinics across the country. See what Build PT can do for you today at buildpt.com.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me, physical therapist Jimmy McKay. Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer, Sky Donovan from Marymount University. And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist Juliet Dassinger. And by producer and creator, second-year PT student Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University. PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories. Make sure to follow us online at PT Pintcast and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love it.
I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpintcast.com.